Read the Word of God tonight in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the chapter. The text that we meditate upon is verses 6 and 7. As you know, prayer day service, historically, is called in Reformed churches in order to ask the Lord to bless the upcoming planting season. There's a looking to the future and a call to rely upon God and trust. The sermon this evening has nothing to do with planting, but it does have to do with looking to the future in hope and trust. So, the particular to the general tonight, 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the great God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The text that we meditate upon this evening is verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved of God, verse 6, here that is the first part of our text, includes a therefore. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Therefore is a word of conclusion. The apostle is drawing a conclusion on the basis of what is right before verse 6 at the end of verse 5. That last phrase, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That phrase at the end of verse 5 is actually a quotation from the Old Testament, from Proverbs 3, verse 34. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In verse 5, the apostle is using that verse to prove that the people of God must humble themselves before each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, in verse 6, he takes that particular application of that Old Testament verse, Proverbs 3:34, a particular application to be humble before each other, and he now applies it more broadly in verse 6, and applies it more directly to the circumstances that the people to whom he is writing are facing. The people to whom the Apostle Peter, by inspiration, is writing are people who have faced persecution. They are struggling. They have family members who are telling them to forsake the Christian faith and to come back to Judaism or to come back to the pagan religion of the Romans. They have community members who are putting pressure upon them to that effect, even the pressure of pain of body or loss of life or of money or of comfort in this life here below. These to whom Peter writes then are enduring strife. They have many cares, burdens in their life, and the apostle teaches that they must be willing also to humble themselves under this hand of God upon their life, to be able to submit themselves to this, and in doing that, to cast their cares up to God their Father, knowing that their sovereign Father cares for them. Not only the churches in Asia Minor to whom Peter writes that have cares and difficulties in their life. Likely every single one of God's people who comes here tonight has some burden or some care upon their soul. I may not know what they are. Hopefully I'll come to know many of them as your pastor. Maybe the elders don't fully know what they are. Maybe not even the people closest to us know all of them. But the Holy Spirit knows, and knows that they are heavy, and that in the bearing of these cares, there are many questions. How is this going to go? How is this going to turn out? Is this going to be resolved? We have cares upon us. And a great practical question for the child of God is, how do I handle these things? What do I do with my cares? Let's ask that question tonight and get the answer from the text as we take our text up under the theme, casting our cares. Casting our cares. Let's notice first the command to do that and what that means. Second, the reason from the text why we ought to do that. There are two reasons from the text why we ought to cast our cares. And then third, the promise that God gives that provides even extra incentive to do it. Casting our cares. The command, the reasons, and the promise. The text speaks of care. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him. These cares here are worries. They're anxieties. Very literally, according to the word in the text, they are things that pull us this way and then pull us that way. The very word means to be pulled in two different directions. And that's what worries, cares, anxieties do. In our mind, as we face them, we're pulled in different directions because we don't know exactly what to do, how this is going to go. If we go this way, perhaps this will happen. We're not sure. If we go this way, perhaps that will happen. Do we want that to happen? Will this be the future result if we do this or that? In the historical context, as I alluded to in the introduction, a large part of these cares was the persecution that these believers in Asia Minor were facing, being persecuted by family and by community. Probably some of them had lost their jobs for the sake of the faith that they confessed. And they're pulled in different directions. Do I obey God and not compromise my faith and lose my job, but then what does that mean for the future? Or do I keep my job and then I compromise before God? And what does that mean? They feel pulled in different directions. Their faith created tensions in their family and extended family as they faced the prospect of family members forsaking them for their confession. That causes care. It causes a burden. It causes a certain anxiety. What do I do here? Do I compromise for the sake of my family, but then I'm alone? Or do I stand firm and then my family doesn't want to have anything to do with me? They're pulled in different directions. Maybe some of God's people here tonight face even those specific kinds of cares, worries. In the Philippines, from which I just returned, there are many, many people in the churches there who face that one about work, jobs. There's a lot of people who had pretty good jobs and that required work on Sunday. When they became reformed and convicted of the fourth commandment, that it's not the commandment that has fallen away, but is still one of the Ten Commandments, they had to give up their good job for a very menial job. They don't have enough money to care for their families. Maybe some of us face something similar to that in Sunday work. The boss wants us to work on Sunday and refuse for the sake of the faith. There's a certain anxiety in that. How will this go? Will I have enough money in the future? Will God take care of me? Maybe there's issues in family. That's not inconceivable either. Tensions over what we confess to believe that causes some difficulties. How do I handle this? How does this go? There's tension. There's a burden, anxiety here. Maybe the anxieties of God's people tonight aren't that specific. The word for cares here doesn't just apply to that in the historical context, but can be applied very, very broadly. Any situation in our lives that would cause us to worry, to be anxious, things that would trouble us and pull us into two different directions. Cares of the issues of life, burdens that come upon us. All of us face them. In any given situation, whatever you say your burden or care is, in any given situation, any given time, these cares, these worries, anxieties lead us to ask questions about the future. Isn't that true? And are not all worries and all anxieties and all cares really due to the fact that I don't know what's going to happen about this in the future? And I'm not quite sure how to handle this with respect to what could possibly be the future. Really, cares, burdens, worries, anxieties are always dealing with that issue, the issue of the future. It may be the future 5 minutes from now or a day from now, very short from now. Am I really going to have time to do everything I need to do in this day? And there's an anxiety and a pull. Should I go this way or should I go that way? How am I going to respond when so-and-so comes over? I know they're going to say this and want to talk about this. What should I say? How is this going to work? That's the future, too. It's only 10 minutes in the future, but it's the future. Am I going to be ready for this meeting that I have, this meeting that's really weighty? What's going to happen when my child goes off to work for the first time and is really out of my care and out of my eyesight like this as a parent for the first time? Always these worries and anxieties are about what is going to happen in the future exactly. And I'm pulled one way or the other because I want to try to know what's going to happen in the future and make the future be the best thing I can. Maybe it's the distant future, what's going to happen in the next few months or the next year or 10 years. Is this trial in my life going to be resolved by then? How can I possibly bear this for that long? 10 years from now, if I put myself there, is this still going to be upon me? Am I going to be able to handle that, Lord? It's going to happen with my child 10 years down the road. Will we still be following the Lord? There's so much temptation If I put this money in the collection plate for the general fund, am I going to have enough when it comes time to pay tuition or whatever it is? Maybe a young person, what am I going to do after I graduate? Will there be a job ready for me? Is this the right thing for me to study? There are anxieties, worries that are due to the fact that the future holds things that we're not quite sure about and we can't always control. And if we go one way, it could be this, or if we go this way, it could be that. But the problem is that I can't make it be exactly the way I want it to be. And I can't cause the future to turn out the way I precisely want it to turn out to be necessarily. I can't know if I'm going to be able to or not. There's things outside of my control. These are the cares of the text. All of them come down to this. Pull different directions because I have questions about how it's going to affect the future. These cares that the passage speaks of and that we all have can be a great threat to our Christian life. If we are consumed by them, the Word of God itself tells us that they can prevent us from listening to the voice of God to us in His Word. The Lord Jesus teaches this about cares and worries in the parable of the four soils in Matthew 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, two different things, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This thorny soil hearer of the four soil hearers. Jesus says he hears the word comes to him, but the care of this world, and that word care there is the exact same word as the word that's care in our text. The worries of this world, of life in this world, the anxieties about what's going to happen in the future, that along with the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes out the word. That's what these worries, these cares can do. They can be spiritually debilitating and spiritually dangerous to our spiritual lives as we walk through this world. They could choke out the word and the influence of the word upon our hearts and lives. You can see how that's so, right? If our mind is filled with these worries all the time, we're running through them over and over and over again, we can't stop and pay attention, real attention to the word of Jehovah God and its calming presence and its promises to bring us peace in the midst of our worries. Or one who is so consumed by these worries, they're running through the mind all the time is in danger of not listening, even if he does stop to hear the word of God. The worries become bigger and bigger and bigger so that finally you say, the Word of God can't handle this. The Word of God doesn't have anything to say to this. Probably it has something to say to other people's worries and burdens, but not mine. What could God's Word possibly add to what I am experiencing? This is beyond the Word of God. There is, of course, clinical type of anxieties and depressions. But the Word of God helps even then, but require other things too. But the person can't believe that the Word of God can handle this. They sort of made it something bigger than it is in their own mind, and it chokes out the Word. Either we can't even listen to the Word, or we are convinced that the Word can't have anything to say. Worries and cares can be powerful and dreadful to choke out the Word of God to one degree or another in our life. So what do we do with them? How do we keep this from happening? How do we remain faithful but not be so full of worries? After all, we can't just stop caring about things. We have responsibilities to carry out. We have children to raise. We have to care about these things, and we have to have a certain drive and sense of responsibility, absolutely. But how do we have that and not cross into the line of constantly be full of worry and burdens? In the answer of the inspired apostle in verse 7 is to cast them upon God. To cast them upon God. They're your cares and they're real, and the scriptures don't make light of them. Casting your cares, you all have them, we all have them, we all will have them. And they're heavy, and they're real. Cast them. And of course, the means by which we cast them upon God is prayer. It's talking about prayer. The word casting here is only used one other time in the New Testament, casting all our cares upon God. That other time is in Luke 19, verse 35. Luke 19, verse 35, there the Lord God is preparing, the Lord Christ, rather, is preparing for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem upon a colt of a donkey. And you know that history, right, children? The Lord tells the disciples to go ahead of him into the little town, and you're going to find a colt right along the road there. Take it, and if anyone asks you why you're taking it, say that the Lord hath need of him. And the disciples do what the Lord says. And when they get the colt and begin to walk back to where the Lord is, it says they cast their garments upon the colt. They cast their garments upon the donkey. And that is the same word, casting. And the only other time that word casting is used, and that's really a good illustration. It's exactly what the Apostle Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls the child of God to do with his cares, to cast them upon God like you would cast a garment upon a donkey. To take that burden, that care, that weight, that worry, no matter how small or great, and to take it off of oneself and to cast it upon the Lord God, that he may carry it, that he may bear it as that donkey carried the garment. That's what we do in prayer with our cares. I take these things that are causing me such worry and such anxiety, even to the point where it's starting to choke out the Word of God, and I lift them off of myself and I place them on the Lord God of heaven and earth. I say, I admit that I cannot handle this myself, that this is too much for me. And there comes a point, Lord, that though I am called to be faithful, and I must be faithful, the rest of this is in thy hand. I consciously say that to him in prayer. I take my care and I say, Lord, thou art in control. In this situation in my life too, do with it what thou wilt. I have to trust thee in this and trust that thou dost know what thou art doing. It's to say in prayer, Lord, aid me in being faithful. I know I must be faithful here. I know I must do what I'm called to do. But allow me to stop there and to leave the rest in thy hands and to give that over to thee. Very practically, it's something like this. Lord, give me the words to speak when this person walks through the door. I know what they're going to say. Give me the words to speak. I know I'm not going to say the perfect things. I'm a sinner still, and I'm weak. Give me the words to speak and to be faithful the best that I am able, and then leave the rest in thy sovereign hands. Lord, my spouse, is this or is that? Give me to be patient. Give me to be faithful to my calling as a husband or wife, and then to let you take care of the sanctification of my spouse. That's out of my hand. Lord, I'm not sure if I'm doing what's right here, but this is going to cost me my job. If I honor thee in this, it's going to cost me my job. But I must go this way. I can't go that way, though I'm pulled that way. Give me to be faithful, to do what's right, and to leave the rest to thee. And even this, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin in my life. And I can't conquer it in myself, in my own strength. I must fight. I must work. But there is something beyond me here. Lord, give me strength. Cast it upon Thee. Praying in that kind of a manner, and I'm saying actually saying things like that in prayer, is the casting of what weighs upon us up to the Lord. I will leave it to Thy working. I'll leave it to Thy will. Now, casting is an act of humility. Humility. That's why the apostle brings it up here and brings up Proverbs 3, verse 34 here. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The casting of your care upon Him is the manner in which you display that humility in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And now here's how you people in Asia Minor, under all your cares and your persecutions and worries, you cast them upon God, they're too much for you. That's your humility. Sometimes we can think that it's actually more humble not to cast our cares upon God. And to think to ourselves that it sounds really like we're taking advantage of God if we do this. And the humble thing to do would be to say to God, God, I know my cares can't possibly be that great. Why would God want to be burdened? Why would He want to take up His time and attention with the things that are going on in my life? And that sounds so pious and so humble to us, but the text says that that's actually pride. If humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God is casting your cares upon Him, then to not cast your cares upon Him is the opposite of humbling yourself. It is to puff yourself up in pride. And it is this way. When we don't cast our worries and cares upon Him, we're saying, Lord, I don't need You. I'm just fine. I'll just grin and bear it. I can do it. I've done it before. I'll get through it. I can bear this myself. Really, it all depends upon me anyway, and I just need to figure out what to do and what it takes and to put my head down and to go forward. I don't need God to bear this. I'm able. Humility says, it's not false piety, it's humility. It says, He is mighty, He's omniscient, He's infinite, He's omnipotent, and I am not. And I must seek His aid, His assistance. I'm not able to bear this all myself. I am weak and frail in myself, and a sinner besides that. I can't control the future. In fact, I can't even see the future. God must bear the issue. I must be faithful, but I must leave the rest in His hands. I must do what is right, and hopefully what is right will produce this outcome, but that's up to Him. The future is in His hands. I can't determine it. I can't control it. And I must be satisfied with what He does, for He's God. That's humility. That's why God commands us to cast our cares upon Him. He doesn't leave it optional. He doesn't say, this is just for the weak that are among you. This is for those who really aren't that spiritual and so have to use this as a sort of help or crutch. To all of God's people, cast your cares upon Me and cast all of them, casting all your cares upon Him, the big things, the great trials in life, and the little things too, the smaller things of the day. In the life of a child of God, as he lives before the face of God every day, he's casting, constantly casting. Like Nehemiah before the king prayed in his soul, just a short momentary prayer, casting that situation onto the Lord. And the king didn't even know he was praying in that short instance. That's the kind of life the child of God lives, where he's constantly casting these things. This is running through my mind all the time. Lord, take it. Of course, we have to be careful not to pray frivolous prayers. But if I had to guess and judge you by judging myself, I don't think our tendency is to pray all kinds of frivolous prayers. I think our tendency is to not cast all our cares upon God, but to leave it be and to grin and bear it. True, this casting does not mean that I just prayed to God and then I'm not responsible anymore. True, it doesn't mean that I cast my care upon God and then I go sit on the couch and do nothing about the situation, because after all, I've cast it upon Him. It's His thing to take care of now. That too is a certain pride. That's a pride that says I don't need to listen to His actual commands for me, His actual call for me to be faithful, what He calls me to do in this situation. This is how the humble child of God handles the cares of his life. He says in prayer time and time again, I am called to be faithful. I'm responsible for this. I'm called to do this. Help me to know exactly what I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. And help me, give me strength to carry out what I am called to do and to leave the rest in Thee and to trust that Thou wilt take care of it. And to submit to whatever Thy determined outcome is. Do we do this, beloved? You, me? Throughout the week, are we casting our cares upon Him? Don't you see? This is the means that God gives His children by which they can experience relief from cares, relief from these burdens. It's like praying for forgiveness of sins. Praying for forgiveness of sins is the means that God gives His people to experience relief from the burden of the guilt of those sins. When we pray as children of God to forgive our sins that we have committed, there is a sense in which, a deep and important and vital sense in which, that sin is already forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's been atoned for. It's been taken away. But under the burden of the guilt of sin, that experience, that consciousness is hidden underneath the guilt of that sin. And the way that the Holy Spirit draws that forgiveness that is already there into my own consciousness is in the way of casting my sins in my consciousness upon Christ again and asking for forgiveness. So too, the way that I experience relief from the burdens, the worries and cares, even though it's already determined, even though the outcome is already decided. I'm not praying this to try to change the outcome of God. What He's already determined in eternity, it's already decided. It's already done. But the reason why He calls me to pray this is the same thing, so that in the casting, in the way of the casting, I experience the relief, the peace of the consciousness that He will accomplish His good and perfect purpose. Isn't this what the Lord Jesus Christ did? When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord had cares. He had cares weighing, burdened upon Him. The care of the bearing of the weight of your sin and mine and of all of His elect upon Himself the next day weighed heavy upon Him, so heavy upon Him that it wrung bloody sweat out of him in the garden. And what did he do with that care? He cast it because he didn't know. He thought he could change God's mind? No. It was the relief of his own soul. It was putting his own soul in the right frame of mind and relying upon his sovereign God who knows what's right and knows what's best. He knew he had to go to the cross, but it's a casting of his care that he might with peace set his face toward it, knowing that his Father will take care of his own future too. After all, his Father is the mighty God. That's the first reason in the text why we would cast our cares upon God. This God is mighty. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting your cares upon him. This God upon whom we cast our cares is in control. All things are under his rule. His hand is mighty. The mighty hand of God. A phrase is used often in the Bible sometimes to refer to God's mighty hand of judgment that comes down upon his enemies. But often it's used to refer to the sovereign mighty hand of God that protects and preserves and keeps his people. It was the mighty hand of God that took Israel out of Egypt that day. It was the mighty hand of God that led Israel on the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, and destroyed Pharaoh and his host. What a comfort to cast our cares upon the mighty one. We're not mighty. We're not in control of all things. And that's the real source of these worries, these anxieties. But when our cares, our worries are running through our minds, we cast them upon him. We know we're casting them upon a God who is in absolute sovereign control, a God who never has to think about a situation and wonder how it's going to happen, a God who's never pulled one way and another and trying to figure out what's going to be best and what the future would be if I go this way or what the future would be if I go that way. But a God who sees the end from the beginning, who never worries, for he is over all. Every situation is under his absolute control, firmly in his hands. Cast your cares upon this God. For you see, because he is this, because he's mighty, he's able to bear this. He's able to bear these questions about the future that we can't bear. The reason why we worry so much, beloved, is because we're bearing things that we were never created to be able to bear, and that we're not supposed to bear. We're not supposed to bear the future. We're not supposed to bear the question, what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes or in the next hour? We're not supposed to bear the question, how is this going to work out? We weren't created to carry that. Our minds were not created to bear the future. We were called, we were created to bear this. How am I to be faithful in this situation right now? That we can bear. Relying upon him for the faithfulness to do it. But that's all. That's the line. We're creatures. And for us to bear those questions about the future, it overloads us. We can't handle it. We weren't created to be able to handle it. It's like that donkey. Donkey is able to bear the riding of a human being upon its back, but those disciples couldn't carry the Lord upon their back. They weren't created to be able to bear that. That was for the donkey. He can bear that. Those things are things he can bear. He's the mighty God. He's able to carry questions about the future. He is suited for that in his divine, eternal, sovereign being. And when we cast those cares upon him, it's entirely appropriate. Entirely appropriate. Those questions about the future, concerns about the future, those fit him. Those match. Like riding upon the donkey matches the donkey. You just be faithful. You are called to be faithful to right now. Leave the rest. Cast the rest upon his mighty sovereign shoulders. That's for him. Don't you see, he purposely created us in such a way that we can't bear these cares upon ourselves, and yet created us in a world where these cares would come up upon us. Why? Because he wants us to cast them. This is part of his relationship to us as his father and we as his children. He wants to be our father. He wants us to be children. We recognize that this is too much for us. This we have to cast upon him. It's how he brings us into this bond, this life, this covenant. By having us face cares that are too much and having us realize this I have to cast upon him. And rely upon him and depend upon him. He's my father. Humble yourselves, therefore, under his mighty hand. Pray to him. Realize he is sovereign and in control. This brings relief. I must simply do what is right according to his word in this situation. Feels out of control, but it's not out of control. It's out of my control, but it's not out of his control. He will take care of it. He's going to form me by it. He's going to fashion me by it in all of his church and all of his people. I can be sure about that. I'll cast it upon him. He cares for me. This God is not only mighty and able to bear these things that I'm not able to bear, he's also a God who cares for me. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I don't know about you, but I would not. Even if I knew God was mighty and powerful as he is, I would not cast my cares upon him if I did not also know that he cares for me with that might and power. In fact, I'd be more inclined not to cast any of my cares upon him if I knew he was mighty and powerful, but I didn't know that he cared for me. Mighty and powerful is not by itself a comfort. With his might and power, he could destroy me. He could be against me. He could cause things to work for my disadvantage rather than my advantage. Why would I pray to him if I did not know also that he cared for me with that might? When you sense that somebody that you're talking to, maybe unburdening your soul to, doesn't really care about what you're saying, doesn't care about you, makes you not want to ever talk to that person again. Why would I cast my burdens upon a God who does not care for me, even if he is the sovereign, mighty one of all the earth? But the apostle points out both. He is this mighty God, and he cares for you. He's a doting father who loves his people in Jesus Christ. People of God, do you know how much your God cares for you? I think we hardly dare believe it sometimes. What kind of love must there be in the triune being of God to choose you from all eternity, not because of anything in yourself, but to choose you, to bring you to himself? What kind of love must there be to send his own Son to come down himself in the second person of the Trinity and to bear judgment for you? What kind of love must there be to send the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit, as the Spirit of Christ, to indwell your heart and to stay with you every day, even though you sin and you grieve him by your sins, to never forsake you, but to lead you and to comfort you and to sustain you. There is a care here that the child of God can hardly even imagine. He's a shepherd God over his people. In the midst of all the hirelings who do not care for the sheep, he lays down his life for them. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand the heart of God's love for you? The best father in all of Christianity cannot claim but a sliver of what God's fatherly care and love for his people is in Christ. Really? No. What frightens you? What makes you anxious? What makes you worry? Hear that fatherly heart of God that cares for you speak. Does the future worry you? Psalm 84, verse 8, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you feel blind to the path that God has set out for you? Don't know what way to go. Isaiah 42, verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and will not forsake them. Do you worry that that trial that you are facing will be your undoing, that it will destroy you? God says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Are you afraid that you will fall from the faith in the end, that your sin nature will get the best of you and overcome and will bring you into the depths of hell? John 10, verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You worry about financial burdens, economic loss, and the stresses of that for the future. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. If God so clothed the grass of the field, how much more will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? You worry about persecutions in the future. They may come. But know that Zechariah 2, verse 8 is for you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. Do you heed the call to be faithful and leave the rest to him? You say, I do that, and I stop there at that line. I'm going to be faithful, and I cast the rest to him and leave it in his hands. But the call to be faithful is so difficult. The call to be faithful itself worries me. He says, my strength is sufficient for you, and my strength will be made perfect in your weakness, and I will work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. Does death and the fear of death shake you to your very bones? He tells you that death has no stinger in it anymore for Christ. Cast your cares upon this God. He's told you how much he cares. Now, every care concerning the future, he speaks to, cast it upon him. Through the way of that prayer, maybe he'll take care of the situation, remove it, maybe he won't. But one thing will be certain. You'll have the peace. And all is well. And he's God. He's still on the throne, and he knows what's best. And that one day, amidst all the burdens and cares of this life, one day there will come a time when no burden, no care will be there anymore. The same God adds the promise in verse 7, I will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And maybe you can make an application of that to this life and the time when maybe a particular trial is finished and He exalts you in that sense, but the primary and most important application of that is to our glorification at the end. And He brings us to heaven and removes all struggles and all burdens and all cares and the lack of trust that leads us to not cast them upon Him. All sin, all burdens removed. Peter himself, the apostle who's given to write this, had to learn these things. Peter was naturally like you and me, self-reliant. Just look at the early part of his life. Instead of casting his cares upon the Lord, he immediately took up his sword and wanted to cut people's heads off. Instead of casting cares upon the Lord, he denied his Lord 3 times. Peter had to learn the humility of simply being faithful in whatever situation comes and to leave the rest in his hands. To cast. And now that Peter receives this promise, he's in heaven right now. No more burdens, no more cares, no more worries, no more sin. Peace, perfect peace. That's for you too. That's for me. It's coming. What a God. That's coming in a short time. And along the way, you don't have to bear it all yourself. Cast it upon me. I care for you. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. Give us peace in this way. Be people of prayer, people who cast. We fall far short, Lord. Grow us, we pray. Give us the peace that comes with it and the hope of life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.